Connor Harbin here with you once again here on the Mighty 690 KGGF, filling in for Kyle High on this Tuesday morning. Of course, do stay safe and stay warm out there here today. So we do actually have time for our interview, of course, our monthly call with Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. He is on the line. We'll see if we can get him on now. Hello, Mr. Schmidt. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing very well, but a little chilly.
Yeah, for sure. Like much of the state, of course. We're all trying to stay warm out there.
Absolutely.
All right, so we got a few topics to talk about here for our monthly call, and I want to go ahead and start with this opioid lawsuit, because it feels like this story's been going on here for a little bit, but then I look at what I'm reading here, and it's really the first legal settlement in this lawsuit, so we're kind of approaching a new step here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Kansas, like most other states, we've been engaged in litigation or threatening litigation with a whole range of companies that we allege have over the last 20 years engaged in false advertising, misrepresented the risks and benefits of opioids. There are benefits, but you can oversell that. And that's what they did, and they did it deliberately for the purpose of making more money by selling more drugs. And the problem with that, of course, is that they also caused more addiction and lots of harm to lots of people. So we've been engaged in that process of trying to hold those companies accountable. We've actually reached a couple of settlements previously, but they're with companies that then immediately went into bankruptcy, and we're now slogging it out in bankruptcy court and are likely to be there for years. And so the news this last week was that for the first time, we have reached a settlement with one of these companies we've been investigating, a company called McKinsey, which is one of the largest consulting firms in the United States. We had accused them of providing basically false marketing advice, knowing that they were misrepresenting some of the benefits and downplaying some of the risks of aggressively marketing opioids really directly to consumers as opposed to through medical professionals. And they agreed to resolve those claims. For Kansas, they'll wind up paying over a period of 3 years a total of $4.8 million, all of which has to be used for drug treatment, addiction, and addiction prevention services around the state. So we'll be going to the legislature later this week and asking them for a way to dedicate those recovered funds to that purpose. And then, of course, the company is going to change its behavior going forward and will be under a court order to do so. So, the big picture here is this is the first time we have wrapped up and reached conclusion in holding one of these target companies accountable for their behavior that led to millions of Americans becoming addicted, thousands of Kansans becoming addicted, and hundreds of Kansans dying as a result of that addiction, and it was all avoidable.
Yeah, that's certainly good to hear. And so, of course, what will be kind of the next step here in this process? You say it's the first. How many are we kind of looking at here? What's kind of the next step for you and the other attorneys general?
Well, we have investigations pending against, without the precise number, around a dozen companies that we believe engaged in illegal conduct that falsely distributed and sold opioids and led to addiction that was avoidable. As I mentioned, we already have a couple of those companies we've resolved the claims with, but we're waiting for a bankruptcy court to sort things out with us and a lot of other creditors. There is a large negotiation pending with the major distribution companies, the three major distributors, Cardinal Health being probably the most common household name, and then one of the manufacturers, Johnson & Johnson. And I'm hopeful that we're going to reach agreement with them in the foreseeable future, but we're not quite there yet.
All right. And so, of course, we move on to kind of our next little item here on the agenda. And this is actually something I haven't actually seen before. So this was my first time kind of seeing it yesterday and this morning as I was kind of reviewing it. But up in Wyandotte County, there's a business that has been selling counterfeit vaping products, and apparently that's been kind of a big deal for your office.
Yeah, this is another consumer protection investigation we've had ongoing for some time. You know, there's a big national debate about the wisdom or lack of wisdom of vaping products, whether smoking Juul is better than smoking cigarettes, whether it's better to not smoke anything at all as opposed to using vaping. That's a different debate. That's a policy debate. That's a different debate. Our issue here is that, regardless of what you think about that debate, it is illegal under Kansas law for a company to pretend to be something it's not. And we've been investigating a handful of sellers here in Kansas who we've accused of basically selling fake Juul products, Juul being the kind of the main name brand in the vaping industry. You know, they would sell little products of vaping liquids or other vaping devices, paraphernalia, and they would on the label say this is a Juul product with a little star, and then in a little bitty, you know, fine print down at the bottom say this actually is like Juul, but it's not Juul, or they wouldn't disclose that at all. That's illegal. That is a violation of our state's consumer protection law. It's misrepresenting a product. We've sued a handful of these companies. We've now resolved three of those lawsuits, one in Ottawa, one in Wichita, and the most recent one up in Wyandotte County, Kansas City, Kansas, resulting in fines and a court order to stop doing that, stop misrepresenting what you're selling. You have to be honest with consumers. Wyandotte County Company is going to pay a substantial penalty. They were engaged in this to a greater extent than the others we've resolved. They're actually going to pay a $30,000 fine, as well as reimburse the costs to the taxpayers for investigating the misconduct. So we think it was a just outcome.
Yeah, for sure. Always a good idea to kind of protect those consumers, especially, you know, like you said, it's such a cloudy kind of deal here, juuling, smoking, vaping. I know I personally can't really keep up with the whole schmoll, so certainly awesome there that we can protect the consumers through that. And so, of course, I think the last item we have here, of course, goes back to more of a national issue. I think everybody's kind of heard of it at this point here, but you and a few other attorneys general, you're urging a reconsideration of that Keystone Pipeline cancellation that occurred a while back.
Yeah, that's right. The Keystone Pipeline, of course, was it's a long pipeline overall that's supposed to reach from the tar sands up in Canada, come down through the northern United States, connect to the pipeline system that's already in place through Kansas, and ultimately allow the production of petroleum from the Canadian tar sands field to come down, be refined in the United States, and serve our market. You know, some people forget, but only four short years ago, the United States was still dependent on Middle Eastern oil as our principal petroleum supply. If you wanted to fuel up your car, odds were pretty good that that oil came from Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or one of the Gulf kingdoms. And now we're energy independent. That has been a remarkable transformation. And it became possible in part because of improvements in production, drilling, oil sands production, for example, shale oil production here in the United States. But it's going to be possible to sustain that independence and not become re-addicted to Middle Eastern oil and all of the turmoil and pain that can cause for us by ensuring we have access to oil imports if we don't have enough domestically that come from a friendly neighbor like Canada, as opposed to having to be shipped from a very volatile region of the world. So I really think the Keystone is an important piece of infrastructure. It also, by the way, has potential financial benefits for us locally in Montgomery County, even if there's not a direct importation ultimately of Canadian oil to the refinery in Coffeyville. Nonetheless, having that in our pipeline system does ensure a more ready supply of oil and perhaps encourage the long-term viability of the refining industry, including the one that employs so many of our friends and neighbors and is the biggest taxpayer in our county. So, you know, these are important things for us locally. What's happened is that in order to build this pipeline, there has to be a federal permit. And President Biden, literally on his first day in office, canceled that permit. We don't think that was a lawful cancellation. There is a concept of due process. You can't just have the government give people permission through a permit to do something. People rely on that and invest billions of dollars in a project, and then the government turns on a dime and pulls that permit, rendering all of that investment meaningless. And the problem, of course, is not just that project, but if a government really can do that, who else is going to rely on government permits and action and invest lots of money in job-creating activities? So we're really worried about this action that the Biden administration has taken. A group of us have told the administration we don't think it's lawful, and we've asked them to take another look, see if they would reconsider. And if not, we'll see. I'm pretty confident there will be litigation challenging this government action in withdrawing the permit without any process. We'll see. We'll see where all of that goes. But it's a big deal, and we're hopeful that it gets resolved.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know at the bottom here of this news release that you sent out, it says that the attorneys general, including you, are reviewing legal options. Is that mostly just litigation-based, or what does that kind of mean?
Yeah, it is. We were engaged in litigation on this subject prior to the Trump administration. There were similar issues at the end of the Obama administration. There the issue was a little more of a gray area because President Obama had declined to issue a permit. We thought for reasons that aren't that interesting under federal administrative law. We thought his action in refusing issuance was illegal. President Biden's decision to not only refuse to issue, but to withdraw an already issued permit that jobs and investors were relying on and invested a lot of money in, we think that is even less legally defensible. So, again, I hope they'll change course on this. We're not the only ones, of course, encouraging them to take another look, thinking maybe they acted too hastily. But if they don't, we certainly wouldn't rule out going back to court.
Yeah, and so, of course, we'll kind of keep updated on that as more kind of updates there. I know that's kind of a volatile issue right now, kind of going back and forth there. So, Mr. Schmidt, of course, real nice to talk to you here on this cold Tuesday. Is there anything else that you'd like to let the listeners know before we sign off?
Well, we just appreciate everybody's good conservation efforts and helping our utilities manage the extraordinary demand for both natural gas and electricity right now. And so far, everybody's doing a very good job with that. And we certainly appreciate it if it helps the less fortunate who otherwise might be suffering through a lack of heat right now. So thank you to everybody.
All right. So, of course, Mr. Schmidt, once again, big thank you for calling in, and we'll speak to you next month.
Take care. Thanks, Connor. Goodbye.